Welcome to the Hyper Fast Show, where we believe unlimited growth in business and life is created by surrounding yourself with people who have been where you are going. Learning from others allows you to compress time and grow hyper fast. And now, here are your hosts, Kerry Scholl and Dan Lesniak. Kerry and Dan are real estate developers, best-selling authors, billion-dollar agents, and million-dollar agent makers. And now, get ready to grow hyper fast.
I'm Kerry Scholl with Hyperfast Coaching, and I am so excited and honored to be interviewing Bubba, who runs one of the most successful coaching and consulting businesses really in the country. So Corcoran Consulting, tell us a little bit about what you do and your approach to coaching.
Sure. So we are an international coaching company. We have clients in six countries.
Wow.
So we coach real estate, mortgage, and small business.
Okay.
We specialize in teams. We don't say we're real estate coaches, we're more business coaches.
Okay.
So what we put into a real estate company, into an independent, into a KW, a REMAX, is the same thing we're talking about when we go to like a Freedom Title and Royal Bank of Canada and a local chiropractic company. Business is business.
Yep.
You know how it is, right? You have a real estate company. So you have the same challenges and business needs that your local doctor's office has.
Yeah.
So we specialize in teams and business building. Not as much on the individual level. We've got group coaching for that.
Yeah.
But that's where we come from, is that business coaching mentality.
So what would you say is your sweet spot with teams? How many people are on the team? How many transactions are they doing? If there's someone watching, because most of our listeners are in the real estate game.
Yep. So we have teams. As long as you don't want to be a solopreneur and you want to be an entrepreneur, then we're for you.
Okay.
We have clients that start with us that are a single agent that want to start coaching so they can hire their first admin so they can start their systems and marketing and that kind of stuff. And a lot of people are scared. They don't know how to start. So we've got one-man teams that come to us to help them grow a team.
Yeah.
Our largest team did 1,400 transactions.
What market are they located in?
Indianapolis.
Awesome.
Yep. And then we've got a client in Peoria, Illinois, did 986 with 12 buyer's agents and 8 listing partners.
Okay.
So all the way down to, I personally coach a team that started with 23 transactions, and we got them to 84 in 1 year, and they're in Albuquerque.
Awesome.
So it doesn't matter what size you are. It's the mentality and what you're looking for in business. That's when we're there for you.
And tell me, when you're looking at all of these business leaders, what are the patterns that you see in their mindset that create the kind of growth and success we're talking about?
Yeah, so the amazing part that I've had of 30 years in this industry and having a lot of friends in this industry, I know every coach, we're all friends, right?
Yeah.
Along with successful realtors, it's passion is what it comes down to. And I tell everybody, look, I can teach you anything. I can teach you scripts, overcoming objection, how to do a listing presentation, buyer presentation. But I can't teach you how to have that passion when your feet hits the ground that you want to do what you want to do.
Yep.
So as long as you have that passion and that dedication and you fit the culture, we can help you. You know what I mean? That's what successful people are. And at that point, you know how it is as a business owner. You have stages in your career. Like, I love buyers. I don't like buyers. I like listings. Okay, I don't like listings. I love marketing, right? That mind shift is when we learn how to work on the company instead of in it. And that's a whole nother passion, because a lot of successful real estate agents are not good business owners.
Right.
They're great salespeople, but they don't know operations, systems. I mean, we interview about 900 people a year for our clients. So when you're ready to get a new buyer's agent, you're going to do interviews, you qualify them to the last two, we're going to do the interview and give you our red flag or green flag and about 36 different criteria we interview through, right? So we're a third party for it. Because most people say, oh yeah, we're great, you got a license, I need a buyer's agent, let's go.
I'm desperate.
Right. And then, like I tell everybody, just take 10% of your P&L and just consider that a loss because of turnover.
Yeah.
And most people think, oh well, buyer's agents don't cost me anything.
No, they cost you a lot.
A lot. Not only your leads, but I want you to think about everybody else on the team that spent time with them. And you.
And your reputation.
Exactly.
Because they sucked.
Yep. And the cancer they cause on your team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So we're talking about patterns of success. Now let's talk about the fear. Because there's a lot of fears at different levels of the business that are probably the same.
Yeah.
Let's talk about someone who is that solopreneur that they know they want to grow. They know they want to create a team. What gets in their way?
The fear of failure. Because most people have not owned a business before, so they don't know that steps, right? We have a lot of clients that come to us, even people that are serving, I don't like to say units, I like to say serving families is what I like. So say they're serving 50 families a year. Sure. At that point in their career, they should have QuickBooks in place. They should have a P&L. They should have a CRM. Yeah. You'd be amazed how many are using a Excel spreadsheet and Outlook.
I would not be surprised by that at all because I've been around the block. It's shocking, right? Though.
It is.
Yeah.
So their fear of failure, and then the next stage is fear of success.
Yeah.
We have a lot of clients that think that their whole lifestyle is going to change, their whole sphere, their whole friendship, their family, they're going to be somebody different. Well, if you let that happen, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's that fear. There's a fear that I can't afford the next level of business.
Yes.
And I'm afraid to hire my first salaried person, right?
Yes.
Because now I have to provide for another family.
Yep.
Well, the biggest thing you can do is hire that first salary person because that makes you work five times harder. Because I coach hedge funds, right? So in hedge funds, when we're bringing cash into the hedge fund, all investors get paid before you owning the hedge fund gets paid. So you eat last. It's the same thing when you have a real estate company. Your transaction coordinators get paid, your director of first impressions, your assistants, and you pray to God there's enough left for you to have it.
Yeah.
That puts that drive in you.
Yes.
You know?
You know, it's interesting. When I started my career, I hired my first assistant, and I told her my vision. I said, we're going to grow. 6 months later, I was going on vacation all the time. I'm incredibly driven, but the freedom that it provided having an assistant. At her 6 month review, she sat me down and she said, "You said we were going to grow," and I'm like, "We are." And she's like, "We're going to grow now." So literally, it was my assistant who said, "You told me your vision, and we're going to do it."
Yeah.
But the freedom that I had from that first hire was very surprising, and the amount of time it freed up, I wasn't even expecting it, and I understood all the things I wanted to delegate.
Yep.
So for anyone out there facing that fear right now, break through it. Hire that first person and just get clarity. Listen to video interviews with people like us that have gone through it and coached other people go through it and figure out what you're going to leverage that you're not good at to make that hire worthwhile. And all of a sudden, your business is going to change and your life is going to change.
It's an interesting concept, right? When we get into this industry, it's because we can make a lot of money and we have freedom. And then you get in it and you're like, I got no freedom. I'm 7 days a week, 15 hours a day, and you're a part-time spouse, you're a part-time father, grandfather, you know, and I use this rule of thumb. If you say yes to someone, you're saying no to someone or something else, and that's usually your family. So getting your first hire needs to be an admin, needs to be assistant, right?
Yeah.
Because those are non-dollar productive activities. We get paid to do four things: list, prospect, sell, and negotiate. That's all we get paid to do. Everything else in this industry can be outsourced.
Yeah.
So if I'm amazing at prospecting, I can get a showing agent to go show houses because they don't care if I'm letting them in, or you're letting them in, or you're letting them in. Who cares?
They don't care, guys.
No, they don't.
Some of you are saying, oh, he's not right.
Oh, yeah, they only want
me.
They
want
me.
That's your ego. Yeah.
Amen.
Kindred spirits over here.
Yeah.
Are you a new real estate agent struggling to get your business off the ground, or an experienced agent looking to get to the next level, or something in between? Dan and Kerry have created an Inner Circle specifically designed to help you. In the Inner Circle, you'll get weekly training videos, access to interviews from top agents around the country, and the chance for direct access to billion-dollar agents Kerry and Dan. You will have access to the same systems they use to train their team of $250,000 earning agents. Sign up now for a free trial period by going to hyperfasttrial.com or innercircletrial.com.
Okay, and what would you say for the team leader? You said when they get on a higher level, they're really afraid of success. For someone that's operating a big team already, what's the step that you see that they need to take to really go to the next level?
So when you get to that stage in your business, most people get bored. Like, no joke. 60% of our clients have at least two streams of income, and 30% have at least three. And the reason why is because you get bored in real estate. Great, we'll do property management. One client came to us and said, I want to own a strip mall in Costa Rica in 18 months. And we went, that's a great goal. 14 months later, paid cash for a strip mall in Costa Rica, lives in Costa Rica 6 months a year, and lives in the U.S. 6 months a year, has a real estate company in Costa Rica and here, and the one here is growing faster than the one in Costa Rica. And you know why? It's because most leaders, what's keeping you from growing is the 6 inches between your ears. You hold yourself back more than other people do. You know what I mean? So if you get bored, find something in your industry. Like one client goes, I want to get a shaved ice company. And I'm like, how about invest? Don't buy. Invest in that. Right? Stay in your lane, you know. But property management, you got JVs on mortgage companies, title companies. And there's so many ways of being able to do it. Because as owners, as CEOs, we always want to see that next level.
Yeah.
Right? Our job is to look on the horizon, and our team's job is to look on the doorstep. So what's that next step going to be? And a lot of times it's because we're not challenged enough.
Yeah. So boredom. One of the things that came to my mind when I asked that question was also being bold enough to step out of production.
Oh, God, yes.
That is a big hurdle. Yep. A lot of agents are convinced they can't step out of the listing side. So there are tons of examples throughout the country of people who have stepped away from the buy side. And so even though people have limiting beliefs around that, and some of you listening may be in that boat where you feel like you can't step out of the buy side.
Yep.
Where I feel like people really, really get stuck is stepping out of the list side, because they get so much of their identity by their success in doing that, that it's a fear of being replaced and a fear of really not being good enough in some way. So I would say, separate of the boredom, once they've gotten out of production.
True.
Because
that is very
true. All of a sudden they have all this free time and they're not really sure where they're valuable. But when you're at that point where you're robbing time from your family to give to your business, it's usually because you're leading a team and you're the visionary. You're responsible for creating the next steps and the growth plan to keep your people engaged. And yet you still have one foot on the ship of doing listings and supporting the clients. And what would you say to somebody who they know that they're failing their family? They know that they don't have the time, but they're afraid to leave production.
So I'm glad that you said that, because you are correct. That does happen before the boredom stage. It's a difference between working on your company and working in it. A lot of people stay in production because they feel, well, with my listings, I don't have to pay commission, so I get more money into the company and I can pay for more things. You know what? That's the first step that you're going to have to go through. As that happens, I guarantee you, you're worth more money stepping into a marketing role. We'll call you the chief growth officer of your company, right? Being a chief growth officer makes more money for the company than you going on a listing presentation.
Absolutely.
You know? And on listings, we usually pay a little bit less commission than we do on the buy side anyways.
So absolutely.
It's not like you're... Somebody can handle... A good listing partner can probably handle 50 listings, right?
Yes.
With a good coordinator... I've got some clients that have about 80, but there's assistant and a transaction coordinator, right?
Yep.
You can't do that by being a CEO of your company, managing a team, being the chief growth officer, the marketing director, and then stepping into the role of what's the next step for the company.
And
you don't have time.
And trying to recruit.
Right.
Right? Which if you're really doing a good job growing your company, that's your biggest responsibility, recruit and retain the talent.
Yep. Yep.
And help them have a vision for their growth plan and their future. So when you're talking to a client who's at that place and they're facing that fear, how do you get them past it?
I'll tell you the best way to get past it is for me to put them in contact with another client that went through that.
Yeah.
So it's great that we coach it. That's the amazing part, right? As I can say in 30 years, I've had this many clients do it. And it's great to hear it from me. It's great to hear from my coach.
Yeah.
But when I say, look, if you were one of my clients, I'd be like, why don't you call Carrie? You know, she went through the same thing. It's the same problems with children and a spouse and a wife and same challenges that you did. You're not the first one that's had the same problem with a boat, man. It's not. We all steered the same channel. We did, right? Because
yeah.
A lot of times they don't want to listen to that part of it. They want to give themselves excuses on why they can't do it.
Yes.
Instead, of listening to eight people that eradicated all those excuses and did it and looks back and says, I wish I would have done it 2 years earlier.
Yeah.
It's taking that next step in your business is the same thing that I explain when we terminate somebody. I've never terminated somebody and said, man, I wish I would have done that 3 months ago. You always do, but we always wait. We'll give them another chance or whatever. It's the same thing when you step out of production and you become the true CEO of your company. You look back and go, God, if I would have done that 6 months earlier, just think where I would have been. I would have had two more listing partners, two more buyer's agents. I could have actually invested more money into marketing instead of into me out beating the streets, right?
Yep.
It's business. And no matter what kind of business you're in, it's a mental game.
Yeah.
The 6 inches between your ears is the most powerful tool that you have. And it's the scariest thing to challenge, especially if you haven't been through it before.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and to that point, if your mindset and your energy is the most important thing you have as a leader, and you're depleted and you're exhausted because you're taking on too many roles, do you think you're missing opportunities to recruit talent? Do you think you're the most magnetic human being that you could be for your loved ones, for your team, for your community? No, absolutely not, because you're exhausted, overworked, your clients are suffering, your relationships are suffering, your legacy of referrals is suffering. So what I would tell you is take the leap. Like, if you know you're there, just do it.
Yep.
And find the right talented person. Make it your mission to have them start shadowing you. So a lot of people ask, like, how do you do it? Okay, I'm ready to do it. How do I do it? So what do you tell people about that?
I will, but I want to include one more thing in what you just said.
Sure.
Your current team suffers more than anybody else. And this is when we start losing agents. It's because you're unsure. You're mentally not there to support them and their needs along with your family. Like, literally, you've destroyed both parts of your life in that moment.
Yep.
You know, so making that leap actually gives clarity to the team also, right? So my rule of thumb was, when I'm hiring a listing partner, it's done in three stages, and it's over 15 listings.
Okay.
So you'll come with me on the first five, and I'm going to do every step of it. For the next five, I break the listing presentation into five sections.
Okay.
And I'll do four, and you do one, right? So for the next five, you'll do one of each part of the sessions, and then on the next five, you do the entire thing. I'm just there to support it.
Okay.
And if we do that accordingly, and most of the time, I don't even pay commission on those. Like, you should pay me to come on my list.
Yeah, because you know you're learning. You're,
right? You're
soaking
learning
in a lot of knowledge.
And a lot of times we'll offer like a salary during that or some kind of, you know, lead way that goes into it. It's the final five is what most people fail on. You're like, you came with me, you've seen me, you know, you've done it, great. Now go on your own.
Yeah.
And then that's when they stumble.
Yep.
I guarantee you, agents will stumble with you in front of them more than the consumer.
Oh, yeah.
So if they can make it through those five, trust me, they're golden thereafter. Now, I've implemented one little thing. In some of my clients that just have to be there, like, they're control freaks. It drives me nuts, man. But anyways, they're control freaks.
Yep.
I say, do this. Why don't you do a little welcome video, a little 2-minute welcome video, and the listing partner can show it at the listing. That way you're not there, but it still strokes your ego, and you can get the message that you want, but let them be free. Like, you have to push them out of the nest. They got to learn how to fly.
Yep.
And the longer you coddle them, they're going to resent you more, actually.
Yep.
It's a waste of their time, and they're not seeing any growth, and you're not one step closer to your goal.
And you're not going to keep talent.
No.
Because they're going to feel stifled.
Exactly.
So our process is a little different now than it used to be. In the olden days, I used to have them shadow me on the listing appointment, and now I won't go on a listing. So the way our training works, we walk them through a series of videos where they understand the absolute structure of our presentation and how we do it. And then they go and shadow our listing agent. So we have four full-time listing partners. And once they shadow them, they come back and test out with the sales manager or myself. When they go through the test out, it's harder than it will ever be with any client, because I'm analyzing everything they're doing.
Right.
Right? Or the sales manager is. And we put it on video and we record it. I think a really critical piece, when you're analyzing someone and what they're doing, if you don't record your feedback, they're so focused on what they're doing that then they only hear a third of what you're saying and they don't get the feedback.
Yep.
So the hard part about critiquing, they should always take out their phone and at least get a voice memo when you're talking to them in the car after they've shadowed any partner, because they're going to hear it differently the second and third time. And they need to listen to it multiple times when they're practicing, or they come back in and you're frustrated because they're making the same mistake over and over again.
I agree.
So for me, I make them do a live demo and get to a point that I approve the process all the way from the initial appointment setting through the whole listing appointment until the agreement is signed. Once they show me they can do that, then they get to go on appointments, and they've already shadowed so many appointments. For us, one of the keys is understanding the lead source, because if it's a teardown letter, which is a very specific lead source in our business, the way you convert that will be very different than someone who comes in as an open house opportunity from one of our buyer agents.
And a referral and...
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
The other key when you're training someone is don't take them on, you know, five of the same exact type of listings and then expect that they're going to go succeed on a different type. I think you have to watch very closely. You have to get a report on all of the appointments they go on, probably for their first 30. Right? What were the challenges that they encountered? What objections did they not know how to overcome? Systemize it so you're giving them support, and then their conversion is going to skyrocket. But when you don't have a structure around it and you just wonder why they're not succeeding and convince yourself, well, they're not as good as I am.
Right.
Well, wake up. You're never going to have people who walk on the job and are as good as you are, or they wouldn't be walking on the job.
Right. And no one's ever better than you anyways.
You know what? I actually now believe that multiple of my listing partners are better than me because they're better at follow-up.
Well, and here's the thing. When you own a company and you go on a listing, you be like, I don't want that listing. You have that choice, right? Your listing partners don't have that choice. They're hungry. They're going to give it that second effort when you're like, I'm not going to put up with this guy. I'm out of here. Right?
Yeah.
They have the hunger. They have to feed their family. So you have 20 people feeding your business. They have one mouth feeding their entire family. And that makes a huge change because they have more hunger than you do. It's no disrespect to you.
No, it's
but
just
you've been doing it for so long.
You've changed.
Right.
You're not the same person as
exactly.
when you were out there doing listings in the beginning.
So they're going to start out with a lower conversion rate because they need to learn. But you're going to see them get higher, and a lot of times much higher than you were. It's because they have to feed their family, and you got 20 other sources to do it.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with that.
Yep.
And they're going to go the extra mile with follow-up if you create the right accountability in your business.
Yep.
Okay. So this has been really fascinating. If you were to leave agents with one thought about creating success in their business and their life at whatever level, what would it be?
Accountability. I own a coaching company, and I have two coaches. I have a coach for my business, and I have a coach for my speaking, because I'm a professional speaker. I think it's kind of hypocritical if I own a coaching company telling you how to run your business, right? Because I'm a helicopter above the forest. I can see it.
Yeah.
Having a coaching company, I tell people what to do all day long. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But if I don't have somebody looking at my business, I have invested more money in coaching through like Andy Andrews, Grant Cardone, Tony Robbins, you name it, right? And I own a coaching company.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because I can't hold myself accountable, and my wife is my business partner. I won't let her hold me accountable, and I don't want to hold her accountable because we've been married way too long, and we got six grandkids.
And you don't want to get divorced, right?
I love my marriage and my kids, man. So never have a spell. Like, literally, I've saved more divorces by coaching husband and wife teams.
Yep.
You know? So I tell everybody this. Everybody hates accountability. Everybody hates it. It's the most powerful tool. And I'll break it down this way. Out of the Forbes 500, 85% of owners on the Forbes 500 have two coaches. Not one, two coaches that help them get to where they're at. So Tiger Woods has eight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I would say the more successful you get, the more you hire specialized coaches in different elements of your business.
Yep.
So at this point, I have a coach that focuses on business strategy with me. I have a coach that focuses on real estate and life with me. And I have another coach that focuses on video and social media.
Right, and marketing. Yep.
Yep.
It's true. So yeah. you get a general. Think about football, right? So there's a head coach.
Yeah.
Who coaches the offensive coach, the defensive coach, the special teams, quarterback coach. You know, that's what the coaches are. So as you're growing your business, you need a head coach. And then as your business gets to that level, it's the same thing when we start hiring. We start hiring a sales manager and an operations manager.
Yeah.
I have a lot of clients who have a general manager now, because that general manager is one key reporter that can take care of 40 people. Instead of you having to oversee them, you have one.
Yeah.
It's well worth the money.
That makes a lot of sense.
So accountability, literally, I don't care who's listening to this. I don't care what the business is or what you do for a living. Accountability will make you grow. Dreams are dreams. Goals are written on paper. They're achieved when you share them. I don't care if you hire a coaching company, professional coaching company. You talk to a mentor in your office. You talk to a peer in your industry. I don't care who it is, but get somebody to help you with the accountability part.
Well,
that's what Weight Watchers is based on.
Yeah.
It's all peer accountability.
Yep.
You know?
I think the key is when I'm selecting someone to hold me accountable, like a lot of the coaches that you talked about, Cardone, Tony Robbins, like these are people who've been extremely influential, Gary Vaynerchuk, Billie Jean, right, in
yep.
my life and career. And the key is find someone, if you're going to follow them, know that they're amazing at what you're following them in.
Yep.
Do not listen to somebody in your office who sucks that's giving you advice about where to farm. Like, come on, guys. Which makes sound obvious.
You wouldn't go to Gary V to ask him about recruiting. You go to Gary V to ask him about marketing and advertising. That's him.
Yeah.
That's his specialty. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So you go to like Floyd Wickman or somebody like that. They all have their specialties, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
My
pleasure.
This
was incredible. I hope you guys got a lot out of it, and we'll see you again soon.
God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the HyperFast Show. Subscribe to us if you want to make sure you get the latest and greatest HyperFast shows. And remember, we love reviews. Reviews help us bring better and better guests and improve our shows. So give us the good, the bad, and the ugly. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.